everybody, for tuning in to The Shore Thing today. Warren and Ryan here with you. It is October 28th. How about this? We are less than a month away from Thanksgiving. That is pretty shocking. The holiday season is fast approaching. Today, we'll have picks, obviously, college and NFL. I am red, red hot. So you know what that means. Bring out the fade machine this week. But I am red hot right now, so we'll get into that talk. NFL, college, World Series is going on. We'll talk about that. And we've got to talk Mavericks. We've got to talk about Jason Kidd, because I don't know. We'll just save it for later, but I don't really know what's going on there. I've got a lot of questions, and I'm going to be a very keen observer in the experiment that's going on right now. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and under the podcast section of the iHeartRadio app. Ryan, how's it going out there?
It's going good. Going good. I don't want to jinx it, but the weather is pretty nice.
Go look at next Friday's talk.
Yeah, no, I know. So we'll ride it we'll enjoy it while the good is good right now. But everything else, I'm ready for a pretty decent weekend of at least some NFL football.
I think college is going to be pretty good this weekend too. Yeah. Well, I guess the main thing is that it's a Big Ten showdown weekend, a Big Ten East. And if you're a fan of the Big Ten, like myself, you're excited for this weekend. And I assume if you're a fan of every other conference, you're kind of just ho-humming this weekend. I think this is a prove it weekend for a couple teams, mainly in Michigan and Michigan State. I also think this is a prove it weekend for Baylor and Texas. But before we get into that, there is one thing that I forgot to mention about F1 that this usually happens. I have stuff written down. I get lost about talking and we move on. Right when we got done signing off, I was talking about like the F1 experience and all this, how the fan experience could have been better, all this. I don't think anybody from COTA is listening, but if they are, or someone knows someone that works at COTA, I would like to offer my services next year to be the F1 track MC. I have been MC'd a little music festival in college. I've hosted in the stadium, been the in-stadium host, whatever, before for the baseball team I worked for at a college when I was doing play-by-play for them in the middle. Did that. I would like to be the track MC for F1, because the MC this weekend at Circuit of the Americas, his name was Danny Trevino. No, that's not Lee Trevino's son, the famous golfer, even though his name is Danny Trevino. This guy was so bad. It's almost indescribable how bad he was at his job, at being the track host. For some examples, I'll give them. I also don't understand what they wanted him to do. So I assume he's just going by what was going on. So he was in the main grandstand on the front stretch. But he would really just say, "All right, everybody get loud, make some noise, Austin, blah, blah, blah. Make some noise if you're a Mercedes fan, Red Bull fan, McLaren, and Ferrari." And then one day on Saturday, he brought in Aston Martin. But after that, he only stopped at pretty much those five teams, even though those are the biggest five teams. You could have gave a shout out to Williams, AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, and Haas. Haas is owned by an American. Maybe throw them some love. And then he would just be interviewing people walking up and down the main straight, and they're wearing Red Bull gear, or they're wearing a Perez shirt or a Lewis shirt or a Ferrari. This one girl, he's like, "Who are you rooting for?" She's wearing a Charles Leclerc shirt and a Ferrari hat, and he goes, "Who's your favorite team?" She says Ferrari. "Then who's your favorite driver?" Charles Leclerc. Was like, "Buddy, what are you doing here? Like, use some clues." And then two of the, that's fine. He wants to do that. Two of the worst the worst offenses that I could put out here was that one, just randomly he would start chanting USA, which didn't really make sense to me other than that the race was in America. There's no American driver. Yes, you have an American owner, but it just, that didn't make any sense to me and it felt weird. And then the other thing was before the cars were going onto the track for any of the things, practice, F4, the W Series, qualifying, the race, whenever he saw that cars were about to go on the track, the guy would just yell, start your engines, like it was a NASCAR race. And people were looking around like, what is this guy doing? Like, he was getting a ton of eye rolls where we were at. He was horrendous.
Yeah, that's tough. The USA chants, you know, I kind of respect because that always gets the people going.
It did not get anybody going.
Oh, okay. The start your engines, that sounds like a guy that he was just like, oh, they must say that for all races.
Yes, that's like, what I said. That's like, what I said.
You know, IndyCar, NASCAR, drag race, yes. It don't matter. I mean, to be fair, you do have to start your engines. Excuse me. At some
right
point.
Over there?
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. You do have to start your engines at some point. So, you know, don't hate it, but to pull that trick out of the bag more than once, that's probably where he made the mistake.
He pulled it out and he would pull it out two or three times in a 10-minute span before the same thing. So, like, yeah, if you were there the whole weekend, you knew his bag of tricks pretty early on. But if you were even there like 30 minutes before the race, you knew his bag of tricks on the start your engines. I said on Saturday when I first said it, this guy probably watched the Daytona 500 one time and heard him say, start your engines. And that's where he goes, I'm surprised he didn't yell, boogity, 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 let's go racing. I thought that was incoming next.
That's funny.
But he was horrible. He was terrible. The DJ they had, though, pretty good. DJ was pretty good, but he was bad. And again, I don't know what. And I'm not asking for like a hardcore F1 fan to be getting deep in the weeds of like, oh, why do you like Ferrari? Or what was the moment you liked Ferrari? But, you know, maybe something would have been interesting of, yes, the girl who's like 10 years old, 8 years old, why she likes Charles Leclerc, like just a little something if she wants to say it, whatever. It doesn't work. Fine. The best moment he did was there was this older woman. She was a Lewis Hamilton Mercedes fan, and she said she'd been going to a ton of races and tried to get Lewis Hamilton autograph on her hat, and they gave her a signed Lewis Mercedes hat. That was like the coolest thing he did, or they did on the Jumbotron. So that, like, if they did more of that or something, I would have been fine. But just what he was saying, and it was just like, oh my God, buddy, just stop. No one is enjoying your work right now. I'm sorry.
And he probably walked away from that like, man, I killed it this week.
Oh, every day he thought he killed it. I guarantee you every day he thought he killed it. And then he was just saying like, oh, we're in Texas, blah, 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 this and that. Austin, we're doing the hook'em, all this and that. And I'm like, I get it. If you want to do some of that, like someone is a Texas shirt or whatever, do the hook'em or this and that, whatever. I don't really care about that, but yeah, I guarantee you he walked away that he was a man, I killed this. But I think a lot of people thought the other way. So I'm putting my hat in the ring if anybody's out there listening that could hook it up. I'll throw in a demo and everything like that for you too if you want that. All right, to the college football, as I was saying before, I think that this is definitely a prove it weekend. I think is Michigan State is definitely the prove it game the most, as they are both in the top 10, both undefeated. Michigan's looked a little shaky. Offense is a little bit shaky. Defense is pretty good. Same thing with Michigan State. And everyone wants to know, is Michigan for real? Blah, 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 all that stuff. So we'll find out on Saturday. I don't really have a feel in the game. I think the total of 50, excuse me, is a little high. So that's a preview of a pick on the card there. But yeah, what are your, this is the prove it weekend for those two teams.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it's going to be a good battle. As you said, that total is a little high for these two teams, but it's going to be, do you think winner gets, obviously, winner positions themselves for the playoff. Would you say that, you know, winner is not a lock, but as close as you can be to a lock of getting into the playoff?
Well, they got to beat Ohio State.
Correct. Or excuse me, I meant the championship game, because Wisconsin, I guess they still, like, if they win out, Wisconsin still has a chance to get back into the championship game, the Big Ten championship game.
Well, they would still, Michigan and Michigan State would have to beat Ohio State to get in, because they're on the, they're, oh, on the, on the,
they're Michigan, was the Legends, and the was West. It the Legends or the,
it's just East and West.
Oh, it's not the Legends and the no, All-Stars.
They ditched the leaders, the Legends and Leaders,
the Monstars and the Toon Squad.
They ditched that like okay. 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago. But no, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn
State—that's
right,
yeah—are
all in the East, and like that was the whole big point of the weekend before Penn State blew it last weekend. Of like, hey, these teams are going to play each other, and they'll cancel each other out, or it's like a true round robin of who's going to make it and who's going to win the Big Ten East. Well, Penn State took themselves out of the ring last week, but they could still obviously play a part into. Who goes?
I do have a slight prediction for this game. Well, not for this game specifically, but post this game. Loser of this game goes on to lose at least another one, if not two.
Oh, I would agree. I agree with that.
Like where they just totally shit the bed after this.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because they really haven't even, like, you look at both teams, they schedule wise, they haven't. Michigan had a tough game against Nebraska. Yeah, they handled Wisconsin pretty easily, but Wisconsin's offense is terrible, but like they probably should have blew out Rutgers by more earlier. They let him back in the second half. They really don't have a big true stern test. And if the guy on Taylor Martinez on Nebraska doesn't fumble in their own red zone or in their own 20, I mean, that game could go to overtime and you never know what happens there. Michigan State's kind of done the same thing. No one really thought a lot about them this week. Then they open up the blowout with Northwestern. They handle Miami. And then they've kind of just played a close game at Indiana and then a tough game against Nebraska. Nebraska's 3-4. I think they're better than a 3-win team, right? I know they've only won three games and your record is what it says it is, but I think they're a better team than being 3-4. But yeah, no, I would agree that I think this game is one where the loser goes on to take a little bit of a stumble going forward. Yeah, I don't know. Who do you think? Do you have a feel on this one? What do you?
I want to ride with Michigan, but this just has like Harbaugh collapse written all over it, kind of too. Not even Michigan to cover, just Michigan to win outright. That's what I'll go with.
Okay, Michigan is the seventh best rushing ranked offense, and they're eighth best in yards per play. And Michigan State's defense is around middle of the pack, so that could be a nice little position battle. And same thing with Michigan State's offense. They're ninth in the country in yards and 12th in yards per play, and Michigan is around 60. The biggest thing about Michigan is they're 114th in red zone efficiency on defense and 104th in third down conversion. So they are giving up a lot on third down and a lot in the red zone. And Michigan State's about top 50 there. So that could be something for to watch out for there. So something on that. And then the other one, Ohio State and Penn State. I'll tell you what, the number in that, what is 18.5?
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of points.
That's a ton.
I think that is that. This is the overreaction of Penn State losing to Illinois last week, not being able to score, total look ahead spot, and then Ohio State. The offense has been rolling since the bye week and the loss of pretty much since the bye week. I mean, but the thing is, they haven't played anyone. They've hung 50, at least 50 in their last four games, but they played Akron, Rutgers, Maryland, and Indiana. Rutgers or Maryland, the best team, but Rutgers probably has the best defense out of them all. I mean, they haven't played anyone in the Big Ten right now. They're scoring a ton of points, but they've really just been doing it at will. But I think this is a ton of points. And James Franklin usually always plays well against Ohio State on the road or at home, but I don't have a pick. I had the over in this one. Clifford should be 100%, but I took it off last second just because I don't know if I could trust Penn State. If there was anything I did, I would look to the Ohio State team total and try and take that. I don't know what that is right now. I'll try and take a look at that, but that's just a lot of points for me to lay with Ohio State. Now they'll probably will look back and laugh, but as they'll blow them out by 20 or something, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, even with your first statement, saying this is probably the overreaction of last week's game.
It's
where
19 now, sorry.
Where Penn State couldn't even score 19 points the entire game. And so you would assume that Ohio State's going to go out there and blow their doors off. But like you said, they always play Ohio State very tough. It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. Now, I think with it being at Ohio State in Columbus prime time, I think that might add a couple more points to the spread. I think Ohio State wins, but that number is just too much for me to put my name next to one side or the other.
The Ohio State team total is 37.5. I like the over in that. The problem is you're laying 165. I don't like laying 165 on that. The other thing too is you probably don't know this, but the line, how do you feel that Ohio State is breaking out new Color Rush red or scarlet jerseys this week?
I don't like it, Bob.
They always do this for a big game. They've done the blackout before. Now they're rolling out the Color Rush scarlet for this week. They actually look pretty slick, but we will see. We will see on that. And then the other game that I think is a prove it or just we'll see. I think we know who Texas is right now. They're a team that is under Sark that gets out to hot starts. And then they try and hold on for dear life. And they've been struggling in the second half. They only scored 2 touchdowns in the second half in the last 2 games. They're coming off a bye last week. Go on the road to Baylor. I don't really know what to make of Baylor. They're 16th in the country right now. They're playing well. They've got 1 loss on the season. But I think this is we'll find out a lot about Baylor in this game. This is the other game this weekend that really has my eye.
No, 100%. Yeah, Baylor's kind of doing it very sneakily, if I can. They're not really doing it with the usual high power score, 117 points. They still score. They're still scoring. Shoot. Over 30 points a game. It's not the old days of the Art Briles where they just go out there and hang 50 on you at any point. So, yeah, like I said, they're doing it. They're scoring 38 points a game. It's for 22nd best in the country right now. Not allowing a whole lot of points right in the middle of the pack there. So, and you look at their rushing yards, that's where they're getting it done. They're getting it done on the ground, 238 yards per game. That's 15th best. Their passing yards per game is only 115th in the country. So, they're getting it done on the ground. They got a pretty decent running back down there. Smith, I think his last name is, who's been getting after it. They have another fellow back there that kind of spells him that he's not much of a backup. He can kind of go in there and just keep the pace going. But yeah, like you said, I don't know how Texas can go out there and get out to these big leads and then just absolutely crap the bed. I mean, we've seen it a couple times already this season. And, I don't know if they try to get too conservative or what the case may be, but they just kind of throw everything out the window. And, maybe Sark has that fireball back in his drawer in the locker room. And sometimes he comes out and he's seen a couple more defenders out there than he usually does. But, I'm not sure. I agree. We'll definitely get a better taste of who Texas is. And we'll definitely see if Baylor's, the real deal here in the Big 12.
Yeah. Baylor's only loss was, against Oklahoma State. They had that close win against Iowa State at home. 70% of the money on this game is on Baylor, but they have 56% of the bets. And then if you want to look at the total, 84% of the money is on the under. So the sharps are on the under, and the bet percentage, 82% of the bets are on on the over. So big money on the under in this one. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the motto, all gas, no brakes. They just get out to hot starts and they just run out of gas in the second half.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that's what happens when your motto is all gas, no brakes. So that's what happens there. But we'll have to see what goes on. Any other games that those were the three for me that caught the eye. Other than that, not you got Georgia, Florida.
Yeah, that was one I was going to mention.
14, that's a lot of points. Really no feel on that game. Other than that, not a lot out there for me. Houston, SMU could be a little very interesting. Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ole Miss and Auburn. That could, I think, I like Auburn in that one. I'm not going to take him, but yeah, that for me is what's up there.
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit them all. I'll probably be keeping an eye a little bit on Kentucky, Mississippi State. I think Kentucky might actually be pretty good. So I'll be keeping an eye on that to see how they fare out there. But as far as
they opened as underdogs and now they're favorites.
Yeah,
Kentucky.
So that's probably it as far as the big. Well, of course. Well, how could we forget the ACC battle of the week, Clemson and Florida State?
Yes.
I mean, two powerhouse programs just going after it. This probably means that they're playing for first place in the conference, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Whenever these two are going head to head, it's got to be. So we'll see. 9.5 for Clemson. That's a ton of points. I don't see Clemson beating anybody by 9.5 or 10 points. But go ahead.
This game is on my card, but not that. Clemson is one of two teams to not have covered the entire year.
Who's the other team?
0-7. Do you have a guess? They're a Power 5 school.
They're a Power 5 school.
SEC.
SEC?
Yep.
Mississippi State?
No.
No, I was just just a quick little dagger there. Probably Vandy.
Mizzou.
Oh, tough.
Yeah, 0-7. Mizzou's on the run where they're 0-7 against the spread, but the totals are 6-1 for the over.
Love it.
So yeah, if you're not covering, at least score a lot of points. And that's what they are doing. Yeah, they are one of two teams to not. Kansas is 1-6 against the spread. They finally got their win against the spread. Yes, TCU 1-5-1, and then Vandy they're 2-6 against the spread. So we got that going there. Was it hard for you to get some picks for tonight?
Not at all. It had really actually. I had to take a couple off, and this again, this might be another heat check because your boy's killing it this season. 52-25 on the season.
Yeah.
So I think this is a bit of a heat check. So if things go a little haywire this week, be on the lookout for like 6 or 7 play card next week. It kind of cool my jets a little bit.
Play the four corners.
Yeah. This is the equivalent of Steph pulling up from the logo after he's already hit 9 threes.
Okay. I'll tell you what, it was hard. I had 5 plays before, but I got it up to 8. Got it up to 8. I just, not a lot on the board was enticing to me. Not a lot.
I got 11.
Okay. I didn't see a lot out there that I liked. All right, why don't you start off there? You gave us the your overall season record.
So yeah, 52-25 this week, went 5-2 last week. We'll start off in the Big Ten where I got Wisconsin beating Iowa, who used to be the best team in the Big Ten. They're laying 3.5, Wisconsin is. I'll go ahead and take that. We'll jump over into some action. I got Buffalo -7 in the first half against Bowling Green. North Texas stinks. North Texas is bad this year. So I'm going to take them to cover 2.5 against Rice. I got Georgia laying the 14 against Florida. I'm going to take Texas Tech and +10.5 the first half against OU. I think that ends up being a bloodbath, but maybe OU gets out to a slow start, much like they did last week.
Even after they fired their coach, Texas Tech, this week?
Yeah, yeah. They're going to rally around the new guy. And
I don't even know who the interim is.
Yeah, me neither. I just know this guy, the guy that got fired, he's the one that filled in for Cliff, and he didn't last too long.
Matt Wells.
But, yeah. So, yeah, they're going to rally around. They're going to come out to a hot start, and then eventually they're going to realize they're Texas Tech playing OU. And end up losing by a lot more. But I got UTEP +10.5 against FAU. UTEP is absolutely killing it. They might actually be, they're pretty close to undefeated against the spread. They might be like 6-2 or something like that against the spread. So I'll take them +10.5 at FAU. I got SMU in a pick'em against Houston. I got Kentucky laying the 1 against Mississippi State. Notre Dame -3.5 against North Carolina. That line seems really small for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. I'll take BYU minus three against Virginia for the only reason, and kind of like what you said about Ohio State, they're busting out these new Scarlets. BYU's bringing back some Royal Blue throwbacks for this game. So you got to win. You got to win in the Royal Blue throwbacks. And then I'm going to take one total this week. It's going to be Purdue and Nebraska under 52.
All right. UTEP is 5-2 against the spread.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew they had to be pretty good against it.
Big, big game day implications potentially, as next week UTEP and UTSA play. Could maybe be a game day spot.
That'd be huge.
A game, because you know they like the one-off game every year, go to a different spot every year. So that could be it. All right, on my card, I am going to take Iowa plus 3.5 against Wisconsin. They're 6-1 at Wisconsin against the spread. They're 4-0-1 the last three times they've been an underdog on the road. And Wisconsin's 1-5 as home favorites against or 1-5 in home favorites. So I think that says enough there. As I said earlier, the under in Michigan State, Michigan, that is 50.5. Utah State minus 5.5 against Hawaii. The only reason I'm taking this is this is in Utah, I think they are Utah's on Mountain Time, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think half of it's on Mountain Standard Time.
Okay. So this is just a time zone play, as the game starts at 1 p.m. if it's in Mountain Time, noon if it's not. And so what? That's a 5-hour difference from Hawaii time. So the body clock, a 7 a.m. start. Nope. Give me Utah State. Hawaii's going to be asleep in that one. I'm going to take Oregon minus 24.5 against Colorado. Colorado, very, very bad. I'm going to take the under in Florida State, Clemson. Clemson this year has yet to score more than 23 points, I think it is, against a Power 5 team. Like, they just do not, in regulation, because against NC State, when it went to overtime, they scored 27. I don't think they scored more than 20 points in regulation. The total there, the under is 6-1. For Clemson. So I'm going to take the under in that. I'm going to take Oklahoma minus 19.5 against Texas Tech. I think with the coach getting fired and then last week sleepwalking in Kansas, even though that was a noon start, this is a 2:30 start. They will be more prepared for this. And then only one night game. I'm going to take Colorado State plus 2.5 against Boise State. Colorado State almost beat Iowa. They played tough out there, so that is what that's what we have. Oh, and then one more. I am going to take, what is this spread? This number has been going down all day. It's the game tonight. I'm going to take, what is the weather in Conway? I need to see the weather. I'm looking at the over in the it's supposed to rain. Okay, never mind. Scratch that. No over in the Coastal Troy game of 50. That thing has gone down. I'm surprised you're not on Coastal this week. You walked into the trap last week.
Yep.
But
I thought about it, a get right game. I thought maybe it crossed my mind, but we laid off. Okay.
All right. That is that. All right, to the NFL.
One sec before we move on. Utah State, they are in Logan, Utah, which is Mountain Daylight Time. Okay. So that's not Mountain Standard Time. They are an hour ahead of Mountain Standard Time, which is meaning they're, so right now it's 10 o'clock there.
Okay. So it's an hour behind. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I was figuring. They were an hour behind. So yeah, 8 a.m. body clock. That's a tough spot for Utah or for Hawaii. We'll take Utah or Utah State minus 5.5. I do what you mentioned about BYU. And the jerseys, I like that. The former coach, Bracco Mendenhall, returning. We're going to counter that little revenge game or whatever with the new jerseys. I like that. It's all a science here.
Power play, yep.
Yes. Yes, it's a tit for tat there. All right, NFL this week. Big game tonight. Davante Adams, he's not confirmed out, is he yet?
Yes.
He's confirmed out.
Correct.
Okay. I didn't know if, because I know if you what from the day you test positive, you're on the COVID list, you can still play if you have two negative tests. Can do that. But him and Alan Lazard are out. So that takes some luster out of this big game tonight with the Cardinals against the Packers. But I would have to say the other big injury or the other big question this week is going to be Dak and the calf. Is he going to play on Sunday night against the Vikings? Me personally, I would, as I said on Monday, the division is already wrapped up. The season's long. You're just coming off your bye week. You do get those two Thursday night games. One of them is that extra bye week after Thanksgiving because you play the back-to-back Thursday night. I'd give him another week of rest. I don't see the need to rush him back. I know he wants to play. I know all this and that, but it's a long season, and there are bigger goals than just winning a Sunday night game in Minnesota on that. So I think I might have Dak take a seat this week.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say. I mean, I agree with you. There's obviously bigger plans other than just this game, and you would assume that they pretty much have everything all but wrapped up. So, but you know, when things are rolling, you want to make sure that they stay rolling. But at the same time, like you said, at what cost? And Minnesota is a good enough team that without Dak, you probably do lose if you have Cooper Rush in there or whoever it may be. But I think, like I said, the going is good right now, so you might as well keep it going. And you know, they know the risks. If he feels like he can't go, then maybe he won't. But you know, if he can go, then Dak should be out there.
Yeah. I just think it's so, like, it's kind of the same thing, but like Jed Wills for the Browns, I equate it to this. He sprained his ankle week one against the Chiefs and then tried to hobble through it in game two against the Texans and hurt it a little worse. Like, this is a longer season. Like, every ad for the NFL says, the biggest season ever. Like, there are, as I said, bigger goals. Why not? I know these guys are competitors. They don't want to miss games. And especially a Sunday night game when Dak is playing at an MVP level this year, he's killing it. But sometimes you just need to, and we saw in Hard Knocks, like, he didn't even want to miss practice.
Yeah.
Like, he was mad he's missing practice. I know it's hard for these guys to miss games, but it's just like, sometimes someone needs to talk to them about seeing the bigger picture, and maybe the bigger picture is clearly, would you want to miss one game or could you potentially re-aggravate it? And then you're out 4 to 6 weeks and then you really put the team in limbo. And the whole thing too is, I know the Vikings are good. They got good offense. And their defense is pretty good. At least they get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. The backup quarterback, you should be able to have a chance to win depending on the opponent. And I would say the Vikings are an opponent where the backup quarterback that you settled with, you should be able to compete and maybe and beat. Because then what's the point of having Cooper Rush around if you just trot him out there if you don't think he has a chance to win at all? Or why keep him on the roster?
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. But, you know, talk to the Seahawks and ask them how that's working out for them and their backup. It's one of those truly, you know, kind of puzzling things of how big of a fall off there is for quite a few teams from your starter to your backup. It's like, why is this guy even on the roster? He doesn't even look like he knows how to play football. Not saying that's the case with Cooper Rush, but we've seen when it's bad, like, it can get real bad real quick with him. So the fact that they do have more of a running game this season could help in his favor. So where it's not so pass heavy, like it was last year, where that's all they were relying on. So you're asking your backup to go out there and throw, you know, 30 to 40 times a game. That's a lot tougher than being able to turn around and hand the ball off to Zeke 25, 30 times. And same thing with Tony Pollard, you know, another 15 times. So maybe the advent of them having a running game yet again would help his case a little bit more, but it's like I said, when it's bad and things aren't going good with Cooper Rush, it can get ugly real quick.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Geno gave them a chance to win in both of those games. I mean, they lost by 3 in both. Now, was it pretty? No. I mean, would you rather have Geno or Cooper Rush?
Probably Geno.
Yeah. The weather on Monday night was an issue.
Big time, yeah.
as well. But all right, anything else looking ahead for this week that catches the eye? We got some. Again, I think it's another week afternoon or like the 3:25 slate. No offense to your Washington team, but like,
come on,
Tampa and the Saints being the big game. That just we got to stop like that. There are games that when like, yes, Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, put that in the 3:25 slot. Everybody wants to see that. No one wants to see Jameis again go out there and try and play quarterback. And I know he's going against the Bucs for the first time, but like that doesn't really do it for me, I guess. I don't know. I'm just get tired. They run the same, like no matter what the team is most of the times, they're running the same games in the slots. And it's just like it doesn't hold up for me, I guess. Let's get some variety in there.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, preseason, you think Chargers-Patriots could have been a good game in that 3 o'clock spot. Now, obviously, the Patriots aren't very good, so it turns into a bit of a clunker. Same with Bucks-Saints. You know, maybe you think that's going to be a big division matchup at this point of the season. Again, probably not the case. But yeah, I mean, I think at this point already, I mean, it's only week 8. We still have 9 more weeks of the season to go.
Yeah.
You kind of already know who the good teams are and who the bad teams are. And right now it seems like we either have a good team playing a bad team or two bad teams playing each other and nothing really in the middle. So I think that's why it kind of seems a little worse than actually it is.
All right. So one thing we need to talk about we did a little bit on Monday, but what do you make of the Chiefs?
Funny story. So I think they're fine. I think the Chiefs are still good. I do think that they need another wide receiver. You know, the days of getting by with Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle and such are gone. I think you need another weapon outside of Kelce and Tyreek. And the running game hasn't been very good. And they're usually a team that lives off the running game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is obviously injured, and they have Darrell Williams back there who's done a fine job. Last week, obviously, didn't get the ball a whole lot because you're chasing 27 points at half or whatever the heck it was. So I think they're fine. Now, do I think they win the division? I don't. I think that if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to get in the wild card spot. But I still, like I said, I have no qualms or no issue thinking that they're a bad team by any case. Now, the funny story is I was – over at the in-laws house on Sunday, and it was her younger brother's birthday, so we're just having a little nice family birthday lunch. He had a couple friends over. His roommate that he lives with was over there, and we're seeing, you know, we're watching football and seeing that the Chiefs are getting blown out, and his buddy, nice kid, real nice kid, just likes to talk a lot. He's like, man, I think teams are finally starting to figure out, and he's dead serious when he says this, I think teams are finally starting to figure out with Patrick Mahomes, if you can get to him with just 4 rushers, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. And I was like, buddy, I literally said, it's like, man, you get after any quarterback with 4 rushers. That means you're dropping 7 and you have 7 against 5 guys. You're going to be in a pretty good spot. And he just kind of stopped for a second. He's like, yeah, I guess you're right. But I was like, that's, you heard that on ESPN and you just repeated it. And yeah, maybe I was kind of a dick for calling you out, but I just want to make sure that, you know, you don't repeat it again. You're in a safe spot here that nobody's going to judge you, but just kind of let you know that's a throwaway line that guys say to make it sound like they know what they're talking about.
But, that's a little mean response.
Me?
Yeah.
I didn't go through all that. All I said was, no, all I said was, if you get after any quarterback with 4 rushers, it means you're dropping 7 to cover 5 wide receivers. You're going to be in a good spot defensively.
A little condescending.
Well,
and look, you're coming from this is coming from the guy that loves a good condescending response. Okay.
100%.
I, huh?
100%. Yeah, no, 100%.
You know that. I love a good condescending response. But look, that's a little bit. But I mean, yeah, that's not bad. The funniest thing, so you're kind of on that. One of the funniest trends on TikTok, I mean, this has been going on forever, but, women, they're now writing down, they have their
oh yeah, I've seen this,
that like say, oh, what's going on, like say stuff at the game that they're, when their boyfriend or husband is watching it, that they know their boyfriend or they got from someone and they're just absolutely clueless or whatever. That's almost kind of like that's a funny thing there.
Yeah, no, I've seen those are funny.
Going on, no, I think the Chiefs are I think the Chiefs are a flawed team, mainly because the defense is like the worst in the league.
Yeah, that's
and now Mahomes knows the defense is bad, so you see him just throw some just horrible interceptions because he knows that, damn, we have to score a touchdown almost every time we go down the field to have a chance in this game. So he's pressing too much, and I think that's why Mahomes is struggling right now, and that's the spot he's in. I would agree that I think they're going to make the playoffs. Don't know if it's the division. The Raiders look like they're playing pretty well right now, as well as the Chargers. But I think they're more of a flawed team, and Mahomes is doing too. He's like, man, I have to do a lot here.
Well, and let's look at it too. I mean, some of the plays and some of the throws he made were so spectacular that the pendulum's got to swing the other way. And some of these amazing, you know, throws and passes and plays you're making, they're not going to. They're, you know, it's like when, you know, again, shout out Steph Curry, another shout mention from him. When he's throwing up all these shots, well, eventually some of those are just going to stop going in. And that's kind of been the case with Patrick Mahomes. Some of these spectacular throws and plays that he's used to making and that we've seen him make time and time again, look, they're just not happening. And that's not to say he's bad or anything. It's just, like I said, water's going to find its level and the pendulum's always going to swing back the other way. And especially now when, you know, when you're up 28 points in the fourth quarter, you can make those risks or you can try to make those plays. But now when you're chasing touchdowns, or like you said, you feel like you do have to score every drive or every time you step on the field, it's going to just glare and magnify that mistake that much more.
Well, and when you do them in the red zone too, they're turning it over in the red zone a ton. So that's going to be a big problem as well. All right, we'll get to the Cards. Did I give my record? I didn't give my record for college. So we'll do that here since I forgot. Last week I was 7-1 and I'm now 46-38-1. So that's maybe I'll go in and edit that and put it for the college. NFL last week, a clean 5-0.
Nice.
So, I mean, I was 12-1 with picks last week. So that was probably my best week ever. 25-10 in our five picks in the Supercon. So I went and looked up the Super Contest standings. What do you think 25 points is? So total 35 games, you got a half a point for a tie. What do you think 25-10, where does that sit you in the Westgate Super Contest standings through 7 weeks?
Probably somewhere right in the middle of the pack.
Nope. You would be sitting in seventh place.
Wow.
Tied for seventh place. Now, there's a lot of people at 25-10. I say a lot. There's probably about 10 to 15. Yes, the leader is 26-8-1, so that's 26.5 points. There are three people at 26 points and then two people at 25.5. And I did look up the payouts for this year. There are 1,600 people, I think, in the contest this year. Let me pull it up right here. Let's look. There are total prize money collected was $1.9 million. There are 1,972 entries. So what do you think sitting at seventh place right now would be the winner?
50K?
25K. Okay. 3% of the pot. The winner gets $335,000. I don't think there's not that many entries this year in this. Usually this was one that was up to like the winner got close to $1 million, but you had to travel out to Vegas and you have to travel out to do this. I texted my dad, I was like, yeah, I'm in seventh if I would done the Super Gate. And he goes, why didn't you do it? And I go, because it's like $1,500 to join. He goes, good. That's a good reason why you didn't do it.
Oh, so I thought it was like 10 grand to join.
Or maybe 10 grand. I don't know. It's a lot. Whatever. Yeah, it's a lot. $10,000 because there's 1,900 people in it.
Yeah.
Because it's $10,000 to join. So that's why we're not doing that. So seventh place though. So we'll keep following that.
Maybe we start a little sure thing GoFundMe.
Yeah. Well, I told you Brandon and I are doing something like this on the points. On Bet Online, I think has one. It's $50 for one entry. I think if you do $100, you get two entries or what they give you a discount. We are 21-14. And the way we do it is we pick each game against the spread. And then if we agree on a game, that's the game in there. Or if we agree that more than five, whoever has the better overall record, which I do at 59-47-1 for the season, 56%. We're in 643rd place right now. The leader's at 30, and we're like two games out of the money. We're doing this, and last week we had like nine games combined. He goes, good luck picking these. I'm like, why is it all on me? Like, this is a lot of pressure on me to do this. But all right, my picks this week. I've got Atlanta -3. I've got the Chargers -6. And then I'm taking some bad teams. I'm taking Washington +3.
Let's go.
They've only covered one game this year.
Yep.
Which also makes me scared. But God, watching Teddy B last Thursday, hard to watch. And I think they've got the better offense, so that's why I'm taking that. I'm taking them +3. This is the week. Kneecaps are bitten. And they're bitten with the W. This is the week. At home against Philly. I'm taking Detroit +3.5. I've dabbled in Detroit a lot so far this season. Taking them +3.5. And then I am taking the final pick, the Texans, with Tyrod, whatever his first name is. He's back. +14.5 against the Rams. It's a noon start. A little west to east action, only a 2-hour difference. And I know last week the Rams played with their food a little bit with the Lions. They do this with bad teams. Remember when they – who did they lose to at, like, big-time favorite? The Jets? Didn't they lose to the Jets or one of those teams a couple years ago?
Possibly,
or they
yeah.
came back against the Jets. They always do this with bad teams. So I'm going to take the Texans +14.5.
I like that. I like that with Tyrod coming back. I like – you know, he's good for two touchdowns himself, whether they're one rushing, one passing, whatever it may be. So I think that'll – the Davis Mills – days. That was tough to watch. I mean, that was reminiscent of like I don't even like just who what there was another Texans quarterback a couple years ago that just looked absolutely incompetent, that looked like he had never even thrown a ball. Maybe he was throwing the ball with the wrong hand, but it was Davis Mills. You know, congrats for living your dream and playing in the NFL, but I don't know how many more snaps he's going to be taking.
Well, he's a rookie, so they'll believe in him, or they could get some development there. Look, I'm not. You would hope, but it's also look those weapons around him. That's a tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing for everybody in there.
Yeah. All right, I am continuing my blazing start in the NFL. For as good as things are going in college football with my picks, they're going the complete opposite in the NFL. I went 1-3-1 last week, so I'm now at 14-19-2. Where does that put me in the super contest?
14-19. I don't know. I can't scroll that far. I couldn't get there that quick. 14 is it a 15 point? Eesh. Hold on. Let's put it. The problem is they don't have like numbers where you're at, so you have to count it.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. Like if they said, oh, 1, 2, 3, like they need to do that. No, it says the entry fee for the super contest is $1,000.
I thought it was 10 grand.
No, that's the Supercontest gold.
Ah, okay.
Well, that's 5,000. But yeah, no, it says $1,000 here.
Okay. All right, but moving on to my picks here. I'm laying 13.5 with the Bills against Miami. I know it's a big number. We've seen a couple big numbers in the last few weeks covered, and I think the Bills get it done. I like Tennessee +1 against Indianapolis. I don't know that Indianapolis – look, I get Carson Wentz is playing good. I don't know that Indianapolis should be favored against a conference opponent or in-division opponent right now. Tennessee's playing really well. Derrick Henry is just doing his thing. A.J. Brown looks great, so I'm going to go ahead and roll with Tennessee. That defense has gotten a little bit better, too. Maybe they think it's a letdown spot after that big one against Kansas City, but I'll go ahead and take the 1 point against Indianapolis. 49ers -4 against the Bears. Bears stink. Bears are terrible. I'm going to go ahead and ride with Dallas -1.5 against Minnesota. Subject to change if Dak doesn't play, but it looks like by all accounts he is all systems go. And finally, to wrap up what could be and should be my first 5-0 week of the season, we are also riding with the football team +3 against Denver.
Oh, I mean, I knew that even before I even put that down. You got your the only time they've covered this season is when you put them when they didn't know they were on blast, but they did that. You said, if they don't cover this game, I'm done.
Yeah. Week 4 against Atlanta. Yeah. Week 4 against Atlanta.
You put them on. That was your done chain game. And, they covered. And then have you bet them since?
I have not. No.
Yeah. So good. Look, good control from you, but now you're back. That line's too enticing.
Exactly.
Too enticing. Too enticing.
Especially, I mean, the last 3 weeks, five drives started inside Saints territory. Three picks against the Chiefs. No points on either from either of those. Four drives inside the 20 against the Packers. No points. Like, you got to find the red zone eventually. The defense is actually playing a lot better. I know Chase Young doesn't have any sacks. He hasn't missed any tackles, though. He's got a few tackles for loss. So the defense has been playing better. They're making a few adjustments. And so I think, like I said, kind of how we were saying Patrick Mahomes, all those fantastic plays he was making, it's going to swing back the other way. Hopefully with Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team offense, the pendulum starts swinging the other way, and we find that painted zone just a little bit, just a couple times. I don't even need it every single time, just a few times when we're in opponent territory. I just need some points on the board.
Probably the first time Heinicke and Mahomes have ever been compared to each other.
Probably not the last, though. Just wait.
Okay. All right. So that's the cards there. World Series. Charlie Morton gets what? Four outs on a broken fibula?
Huge.
Disgust.
That's crazy. That was, yeah. I mean, off his push-off leg, too. I mean, it'd be different if it was off his plant leg. You know, although it would still hurt, don't get me wrong, but for it to be, you have to drive off that back leg, and that's the leg that's, I don't know if that it was broken at that point, like when it got hit. I think it broke when he pushed off and fell. I think that's when he might have broke it, and then he waved out the trainers. So he might have had like a little hairline fracture or something, but the way he fell that last pitch, I think that's when it might have broke. But either way, regardless, hairline fracture or not, the fact that he was able to get four outs with that fracture or break, whatever it may be, in the World Series, awesome, gritty performance. Tough for the Braves that they're going to lose, you know, probably one of their top arms for the rest of the series, though.
Yeah, no, I agree, because they said after the they said after the inning, he went and took x-rays.
Yeah.
And they didn't come back with anything. So then did they give him, they must have given him x-rays again after he fell down or whatever. But that was quite impressive. And we talked about on Monday that the Braves had the pitching advantage going into the series, especially with Morton. Well, then now they kind of lose the pitching advantage because Charlie Morton's out and Lance McCullers is out. So that's why they had the advantage. So both, I would say the two aces on the team are both out.
Yeah.
But the series has been pretty good so far. Game one was a good one last night. The Astros then come back. I wasn't very, Max Fried's been pretty bad in the playoffs.
He has not been good at all.
Which is a cry from his regular season post All-Star break when he had like a 1.7 ERA. He's been bad, and now it's just both offenses are pretty good. We still haven't got the Jock Peterson game yet.
Yeah,
that I thought that was going to be last night.
That strikeout in the eighth inning.
I was not watching that.
Oh. I think the Braves had a guy on first. Yeah, Albies was on first, and Soler missed a home run by, I mean, it was at the warning track, but I mean, missed it off his barrel by a fraction of a centimeter. If he, you know, is just a little bit more through that ball, in the middle of that ball is crushed. Even off the bat, it looked like he might have got it. And then the next two batters after that struck out on two bad calls. I forget who hits after Soler, but then Jock struck out on a pitch looking that was probably at his shoe tops, and but he put a couple good swings on a couple balls. I thought this was going to be the game where he came up big in a tight spot.
Yeah, but so he's due for a big series there in Atlanta. This thing is definitely going back to Houston. I don't think either team is going to close out in Atlanta.
Oh, 100%.
Whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. And then how about Rob? I know we've talked about this. This is with our two teams. How about Rob Manfred? So the tomahawk chop in the Braves, I'm curious how they're going to cover it on Fox if they say anything about it. because Rob Manfred says, oh, we talked to the local groups, the Braves talked to the local groups, and they're fine with it. Well, then today, I don't know if you saw this, the National Congress of American Indians said Rob Manfred is totally wrong on this. He doesn't, a local area, they don't have any say on this. It's a national thing on that. So we will, it will be interesting to see what goes on there as Manfred continues to lie through his teeth.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, well, I guess we'll see how it gets covered and how it gets mentioned, if it does at all. But yeah, I don't really have.
I don't think so. There is a clip though. The Twins Almanac. So when the Braves made the World Series in 1991, CBS was hosting the World Series, and they did something on the Tomahawk. They had the National Director of American Indian Movement come on to talk about it, and he said, as you would expect, you would hope that they would stop doing the chop and things along those lines. That was 30 years ago. So we'll see what goes on then. But aside from that, how about that this is Joe Buck's 22nd consecutive World Series and 24th World Series overall?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean,
that is an
good.
Impressive run.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, the internet tells people they don't like Joe Buck. Joe Buck's good. Is he good all the time? Does he have some cringy calls, would you want to say it, or said some stuff that you don't always agree with? Sure. But I mean, what commentator doesn't do that? But, that's a great run, and he's doing it. He does it always in the middle of football season, which is even more impressive. Shout out to him.
I got to wonder if he's doing the Falcons Cardinals game tonight, because sometimes they let him miss it, but I think he's doing it tonight.
Packers Cardinals.
What did I say?
Falcons.
Packers Cardinals. I think he's doing it. I think he's doing it again tonight. All right, and then the NBA quickly. So the Mavs, obviously Jason Kidd. I said I'm fascinated on this. I think he's going to be a beautiful disaster as a head coach, from just going on previous experience. And now Jason Kidd is the coach of the team, but he's not really the coach. He's just like the figurehead. And they have this three-man leadership council of Luka, Porzingis, and Tim Hardaway. And those three guys just pretty much are deciding who is starting the game and who is playing in the game. Like against the Falcons, it was reported that the leadership council decided who was going to start with them. And they decided on Dwight Powell after it was Brunson, I think, was starting a point guard or whoever it was. They're like, Dwight Powell's the center. He's starting. He's playing more. All right, good. Well, then they play 15 guys against the Rockets on Monday night. And it wasn't like they were up 30 points and it's like, all right, it's time for the end of the bench guys to get about 5 minutes a run. They were playing like in the rotation. And after the game, he says that playing all 15 guys was per the request of the Dallas three-man leadership council. This is unbelievable. You have gone from Rick Carlisle, a strict coach, not going to take anything from players, to like almost too far of the other spectrum of, hey, the players, they'll decide who's going to play, and it's too far gone the other way.
Yeah, that's something I've never heard before. I don't think it's ever been done before. But like you said, this has all the pieces of making an absolute disaster down the road if things start going really, really bad. But hey, look, I mean, they're 2-1 so far. Porzingis looks pretty good. Luka's looking good. Maybe this is what they wanted. They said they wanted a player's coach, and that's what they got. And even to the point where the players are coaching, apparently, and setting the lineup, which is wild. I feel like that could start some issues in the locker room, though, with some guys. But again, we'll see how this plays out. I think there's only one way for it to go. And hey, maybe if they go to maybe they make the finals or something, we'll see more teams make this switch.
I don't know. We'll have to see. They've beaten two pretty bad teams so far. I did think it was funny how in game one against the Hawks, when they got absolutely destroyed at halftime or whatever, whenever they talked to Jason Kidd, I think it was out of halftime or something, they said, what's one of the adjustments you want to have going forward in the second half? And his thing is, we need to have more fun playing basketball. Like, what? This was an eighth grade junior high league. This is the NBA, man. Yeah, you can have fun, but the whole thing of, oh, we need more fun when we're playing, that ain't, that doesn't cut it in the NBA. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's tough. Yeah.
But no, that is that for the NBA. And the finals prediction is going to be Cavs versus the Timberwolves. Lock it right now. They're on a collision, taking a Stugatz out of the Stugatz playbook, Cavs Timberwolves collision course.
They're going to have to make it through the Knicks and Bulls first.
I'm not worried about the Knicks. The Knicks try too hard in the regular season, and then they get flamed out in the playoffs. The Bulls, I like the Bulls. I do like the Bulls. Well, they need to get past the Hornets, too. The Hornets are pretty good.
Yeah. My guy Kelly Oubre out there.
Yeah, I was watching the opener against the Cat. He's gone full blonde this year.
Full blonde, yeah.
Full blonde. Hard to see that. But all right, I think this is a good place to stop. We'll be back on Monday. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then.